So as we come to God's word this morning, shall we just pray together? Lord God, as we explore your word this morning, would you give us eyes to see, ears to hear, minds to understand, and hearts that are willing to respond to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You'll be aware that when I'm not in church or undertaking ministry stuff, that I work for a local business. And as the end of the financial year is now fast approaching, along with my first year as a deacon, it's appraisal time of year. The time when those that I work for or minister with make a judgment of whether I'm doing a good job or whether I should be priested, and what measures and expectations will be put in place for next year's performance and ministry here at St Mary's. Maybe for some of you, if you're retired, self-employed, or the head of a business, you're sitting there with smiles on your faces, thinking, I'm glad those days are no more. Or feeling grateful that you're not being judged like that. Appraisal season aside, there's no getting away from the fact that we live in a society where judgments are made all the time. A recent research article referenced in one of the newspapers suggests that in the equivalent of the blink of an eye, 0.0033 seconds, that judgments are made. And they create a first impression of someone. People make judgments. You, I, and others maybe make judgments of others about what type of people we consider them to be. Maybe some of those judgments we're very aware of and include whether they're pretty, intelligent, speak the right way, dress the right way, are successful, whatever that may mean, are loving or not, are kind or not, are just simply not the type of person I want to be associated with. People also make judgments about institutions, the church, for example. Now, I don't mean this church, I mean the church, the national, the global church. And in many of the conversations I have, and maybe you've had similar ones, with people who are just, you're just itching to introduce Jesus to. You're making progress, and then from left field, they then say something along the lines of, but the church is so judgmental. There's so much judgment against those who are gay, those who are in favour of assisted dying, those who have abortions or want a choice for them. Those who do this, those who do that. So we're faced by judgment at all different levels. And all this got me thinking and wondering whether if I say that I'm a follower of Jesus, are there any sayings or teachings of Jesus that can show me another way to treat others that honours them as part of God's creation made in his image? A way that might challenge the society view that it's okay to size people up and write them off if they don't meet our expectations. A way that might challenge society's view that the church can be a place where people are enabled to be the people God intended, made in his image. Is there a golden rule, a nugget that might help us in our search to know how the Lord might like us to live with one another here in church, in our homes, our communities, and workplaces? Well, let's explore the passage we had read to us this morning in Reaching Wider from Matthew 7 and find out. This is a passage that is starting to bring Jesus' teaching on the mountainside about his kingdom to a close. Teaching for which those of us who haven't necessarily been here for the last 6 weeks has introduced us to the notion that the kingdom is for everyone. A kingdom centred on Jesus, who is described as both salt and light, and whose kingdom is based on a number of values. Values built on the law given to Moses and focused on a relationship with God in prayer, worship, and trust in personal circumstances. In starting to draw things to a close, Jesus now shifts his emphasis to relationships with each other in the following passage. Now, why don't we sit and just listen to those words again without turning to the Bibles just yet, asking the Lord to help us listen for his voice as we hear the words read. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way as you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own? How can you say to your brother, "Let me take the speck out of your eye," when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. This passage finishes with, so in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Now, you may or may not know that this final verse of the passage is sometimes referred to as the Golden Rule. Some suggest that it got this name, the Golden Rule, as one of the Roman emperors wrote the rule in gold sometime after the death of Jesus. That said, these words would not have been new to the listeners on the mountainside, as it was well known both in Chinese philosophy 700 years before the birth of Jesus, and then in Roman and Greek culture immediately preceding it. The Jews themselves would have known it as, "What is hateful to you, do not do to your neighbour." In effect, a rule that is balanced on either side. So do unto others equals do to you. So maybe one way to look at this is to see it as an equal sign, something like this. This got me thinking a little about whether there is something that we're familiar with today that might help us to be more mindful of this golden rule. We've just given out some Kit Kats. Now, you might well think that at this moment I've lost it, but the question I have, even though Ian's given the game away already, but he didn't realise that, was, what phrase do you associate with the Kit Kat? Yeah, have a break, have a Kit Kat. Yes, absolutely. So this is something that, yes, you're very familiar with, and I wonder whether the passage, if we see it as a two-bar Kit Kat, it might actually help us to understand more about this golden rule. Interestingly, in Japan, they actually produced an edible gold Kit Kat, which I just really couldn't resist to put up on the screen. So these two bars can help us remember what this passage is about. You know, yes, it is about how we live with others, with one bar being us and the second bar being others. But I also wonder whether there are two very important themes of this golden rule that run through this passage that will help us see the key themes as another way to treat others that honours other people as part of God's kingdom made in his image. So the first of these relate to judging others. So let's just unpack this passage just a little bit more to see what it might be saying. So let's look at verses 1 to 5. Now, these verses too are in balance. But when we read them, what do we see? Are we tempted just to take the first half of the verse, do not judge, and leave it there? That's pretty clear, isn't it? Just don't judge. Don't criticise others, compare others to anybody else, whether that be a brother, a sister, or someone that you work with. Don't confront them on anything they do. Do not judge. But if we do that, we're missing the point. Because the second half of the verse goes on to tell us why we should not judge. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. We should not judge, or we will be judged. In other words, the way that you judge others will result in you being judged. But Jesus doesn't leave it there either. He elaborates by going on to say, for in the same way as you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Thinking about the end of verse 2, maybe we should ask the question, if we are going to be judged by others, how do we want to be judged? What measure would we like to be applied? I don't know about you, but I'd hope that someone would be merciful, that they would take into account my family background and upbringing, that they would take into account the way I've been treated by others, that they would take into account all of my insecurities, my entire history, the temptations I struggle with. In a nutshell, my entire story. We need to be merciful and take into account the person's entire story. Take into account the complete person, not just one particular behaviour, one particular bad hair day or moments of forgetfulness that are not so great about them. To emphasise this point, Jesus then tells a parable. On the face of it, it's quite a ridiculous story, really, and reminds me a little of some of the scenes from programmes like 24 Hours in A&E, and where there was one episode where, quite literally, there was a plank in someone's eye. But Jesus says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? When Jesus says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye, Jesus is highlighting that indeed there is something different, maybe even not quite right about the other person. And it's okay to notice that. It's okay to notice and perhaps draw conclusions. But Jesus then shoots across, a shot across the bow, when he says, and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye. In other words, okay, you've noticed that something isn't quite right with them, but what about you? Have you taken a look at yourself recently and seen that there's a huge malfunction going on in you? I wonder whether Jesus has a fair measure of people who are always keen to point out what's not quite right with others as it's a way of maybe feeling better about ourselves? Do we ever think to ourselves, well, I'm pleased I'm not like them? In addition to this, I wonder whether all the time we are investing time, effort and energy in noticing other people, it distracts us from taking a good hard look at ourselves, the issues we have, the challenges we have, perpetuating the thought, we're not that bad. But Jesus doesn't let that wash. He goes on to say, how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own? In essence, saying, how dare you point out something else in someone when there's something wrong with you? And he goes on to say, you hypocrite. Not a nice term, is it? Someone who's more fascinated in someone else, seeing what's wrong with the other people rather than facing up to the truth about ourselves. Ouch. What does Jesus tell that person to do? They must first take the plank out of your own eye. In essence, we need to see how messed up we are. We need to acknowledge the things that aren't right with us. We need to remove those things from our life, and in doing so, we become a better person. But it doesn't stop there. It's not about us being better people for ourselves. Rather, having taken the plank out of our eye, I can now see clearly to be able to help remove the speck from my brother or sister's eye. Following Jesus never stops with what's in it for me. It's all about what God has done for me for the benefit of others. Following Jesus is about building relationships, seeing clearly to remove the speck from my brother's eye. If I choose to mind my own business, it does something for me, but nothing for others. It's not about minding my own business. This is about being able to appropriately, let me underline that word a million times, to appropriately approach others. It's not about being judgmental. Rather, Jesus commands us to address our stuff, the things that aren't right with us, so that we can help others with theirs. By seeing the plank in our own eye and through God's grace and forgiveness, remove it so we can see clearly to address the sawdust in others. Self-awareness is key to being able to do this. And this is where the second finger of the Kit Kat bar comes in. We're currently in the season of Lent and a time when many Christians especially focus on the presence of God and rekindle or start a number of disciplines, maybe even going on retreats or quiet days. Last week, Alistair invited all of us to consider practicing sitting in God's presence. And I'd like to invite you, as we move on, to think about the next part of this passage, to consider using your Kit Kat bar this week to do precisely that. To, as the advertising slogan suggests, have a break, have an ASK. Have a break from the busyness of life and use the principles outlined here to have a greater, a bigger sense of God's presence through this time of Lent. Now, you may be thinking, I can't do that because I've given up chocolate for Lent. Well, what I would suggest is either you can just use the chocolate bar as a symbol and then enjoy eating it on Easter Day, or follow one view of abstinence in Lent, which is to break your fast each Sunday, meaning you can eat your Kit Kat without any sense of guilt if you'd like to. But maybe on the face of it, these verses seem a little disconnected from the first five verses. But I actually wonder whether the next five verses are very closely linked to the first five as a way of highlighting the need for the disciples, and with it our need, to pray and seek. To seek his wisdom and direction as we follow the command to judge no one, yet be wisely observant to see the true character of people and engage with them in a sensitive and caring way. Prayer is the only answer to this conundrum. This is the path of spiritual discernment, as highlighted in verses 7 and 8. Verse 7 highlights that we are to ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Ask and it will be given to you. This seems to indicate coming to God in humility and consciousness of need, as a child fittingly comes to their father. We are to seek and you will find, linking a person's prayer with responsible activity in pursuing God's will. As when a person prays for a job, at the same time, scours the papers, the job boards, or registers with a recruitment agency. And finally, we are to knock, and the door will be open to you. Suggests a need for perseverance in one's asking and seeking. Such as when you persevere in praying for something, you know, such as a loved one, maybe a husband, a wife, or a child, would come to know and love the Lord. And you speak and love the gospel and the way you live the gospel to show that faith is real. This all suggests that we are to ask our Father continually. Notice in verse 8 that Jesus says, everyone will receive. Everyone will find and everyone will seek and see the door opened. Now, the topic of prayer is another sermon altogether. But just to say that prayer is based on our need and everyone's need to willingly trust God to take care of us. To know with certainty that he always hears us and he always responds. And as we were thinking in Reaching Wider, with good gifts, the things that we need. If you're not familiar with prayer, then why not this week use your Kit Kat bar to sit quietly to ask the Lord to reveal to you what will bring you the greatest fulfillment that is in line with what he longs for you. And keep knocking by asking and seeking. See what happens. Maybe if each of us were to do that each day for this week, we might be blown away by the answers. Maybe this is one approach to coming to the prayer gathering this week. on Tuesday to come and have a break, have an ASK with God. So what might this two-bar Kit Kat golden rule look like for you? Whether you've been following Jesus all your life, or less than that, or someone who's still making up your mind, what might that look like for you to live out your life centred on these two bars? One bar that focuses not on the specks of sawdust in the other people's eyes, but on always being on the lookout for the plank in your own eye. And the other bar focused on a life that is focused on prayer, on asking, on seeking and knocking. Asking for sensitivity towards the speck of dust in others. Not to judge, but to sensitively highlight them with an awareness of the planks in your own life. Seeking out where those planks are so that they can be seen, and to knock so that those planks, through the grace and forgiveness of Jesus, would be removed. And all this so that others are treated in a way that honours them as part of God's creation, made in his image. What would it look like if you brought those two bars to life in your life? It's not an easy thing for any of us. Every single one of us here today, myself included, but fortunately we're not alone. Jesus has left his Holy Spirit to make us more like himself, working deep within our hearts and our minds, helping each of us to take a good hard look in the mirror so that we can see the planks in our eyes, and then leaning on the Holy Spirit, bring the light of Jesus to those we meet every day who see maybe for the first time, but then consistently over time, the way that we judge people is based on Jesus' golden rule, to do to others as we would have them do to you. Let's spend a few moments in silence. Now, you might like to close your eyes and think about your breathing, imagining that as you breathe out, you are breathing out all the things that distract you from knowing God's presence. All the things that distract you from looking at you. As you breathe in, you are breathing in God's presence and hearing the song of love he is singing over you, that you are his. As we settle in God's presence, maybe we become aware of a plank in our eye that the Lord wishes to deal with this morning. Or maybe you long to have a heart that is more discerning of what the Lord is asking you to do every minute of every day with the people who come across your path. Ask him. Seek him. And keep knocking for him to reveal more to you. Oh God, we thank you so much for your word and for the many ways in which you reveal yourself to us. Lord God, would you enable us not to rush away, but to dwell in your presence, to know and sense your presence with us each and every day. So that we truly can live for you. And do to others as we would like them to do to us. We ask that you would equip us to be sensitive more and more to your Spirit each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen.